The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. It's time to put your money where your values lie. Break free from your big bank. Visit DuPageCU.com/join today. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured.
When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah.
I got stories that'll raise the hair in your head.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I'm rather looking forward to it.
Black and Abdallah.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so this is how I'm going to start, right? Like, no one should be surprised at what we saw last night. In Los Angeles, the Bears losing to the Rams 34-14. I will say, though, we've called it. We've laid out the map here. We know exactly how this could all change. We know what needs to be fixed. We know what could happen to maybe score some more points offensively, something we've never seen a Matt Nagy offense do. There is a player on the team that they could use to help do that. You know, there's an answer there. You and I have been all over it. We talked about it. We know exactly what could happen to help this offense. We also have laid out for the last couple of weeks how this defense is in trouble and how the secondary does not have enough depth. And also, this team, to have success on the defensive side of the ball, they have to get after the quarterback. And last night, I didn't see Khalil Mack do anything. I mean, I know he was there. I know NBC really hyped him up as one of the best players in the National Football League. He was on the field. I saw him. He didn't really accomplish anything.
No.
And the Rams did a good job scheming against Khalil Mack, but what have we talked about? They need pressure from the opposite side. Where was Robert Quinn? Where was any of that pressure? And actually, the only player that I really saw make a difference defensively last night was Roquan Smith.
Akeem Hicks had a sack.
Oh, okay.
They had that sack.
He had one sack. Congratulations. Okay. He also had a boneheaded penalty as well.
It didn't matter. They had the touchdown scored. It didn't matter.
My point is, that's what Akeem Hicks does.
No, I get that.
He can march around like he's a wrestler in the ring after a sack. But listen, help create plays to get stops so the defense can give the ball back to the offense. We saw a lot of this coming into the game, so you shouldn't be surprised by that. But there are problems at hand with the Chicago Bears throughout the season that do need to be fixed as we head into week two.
No, absolutely. I think that when you look at the game, if you look at the score and the box score, you'd be like, okay, fine. Like, if you didn't watch the game, you'd be like, that's what I expected. Maybe a point or two underneath that total score. But this is what I expected, right? But when you watch the game and when you look at the play-by-play and you see Justin Fields coming in on the fourth or fifth play of the game and then coming right back out of the game and then coming in the game half an hour later and then coming out of, and then running a read option at one point and then coming back out and then going in for a touchdown but then coming back out, it just didn't seem like there was a game plan. And then Matt Nagy taking a timeout early in the game. Don't you script the first, like, 15? Don't you have the first 15 scripted?
You would think.
Isn't that why it's called the first 15?
It's an idea.
You've got to call a timeout. I know things change because you don't factor in a 40-yard run, and you don't. But you know where you, if you're there.
Isn't Andy Reid famous for, like, the first 15 plays and the way that the Chiefs kind of lay that out? And even to his time back in Philadelphia, like, that was a thing that Andy Reid in the first quarter and the way they script their, like.
Also, with time to prepare, Andy Reid's great, and you'd think Matt Nagy, with all this time to prepare the first game of the season, he'd be better off calling plays. But no, we saw the same thing that we saw with Trubisky, that we saw with Foles. It is the short routes. It is nothing over 10 yards. It is nothing over, God forbid, anything over 15 yards. I mean, come on, let's not revolutionize the game here or anything. Anything over 15 yards. But the problem is that this offense is being run like something from the 90s. This is not a new style NFL offense. You watch around the league and you got to see every single game before the night game. And you see guys like Justin Herbert putting up 350 yards. Yeah. You see guys, Jameis Winston, I know it was only 175 yards with five touchdowns. Kyler Murray running all over the place. Russell Wilson running all over the place and making plays. And then this is, I mean, I would have been better off if Andy Dalton didn't play as well, but at least they were trying stuff, right? Like, if you're throwing it down the field, if you're making things happen, if you're doing things that we didn't see that you couldn't do with Trubisky and Foles, and you're trying things with Dalton and trying things with Fields, I would have been less upset. Because at least you're trying a new offense. Because then, if Fields comes in to start, you can say, we're trying to run this playbook, and Andy Dalton's just not getting it done. Andy Dalton doesn't have the arm strength anymore. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. But to be fair, Dalton was running around. He was evasive in the pocket. He was making plays happen with his legs. He didn't play horribly. You're going up against what was the number one defense in the NFL last year. He didn't play horribly. It's the play calling that was awful. It's the secondary that was awful. It was the defense that let this team down. If I would have told you that they were only down six going into halftime, they got a shot at this game. This is what we talked about. We talked about making it a defensive game and staying within the number and trying to be competitive at the end of the game. And going into halftime, they were only down six, and it was a competitive game. And then the wheels fell off.
Well, let me push back on one thing. You said that Andy Dalton did not play horribly.
He didn't play horribly.
What did he do to win a football game,
though? He didn't do anything to win a football game.
All right.
But
so,
he didn't play
horribly. He
looked better than anything I saw last year.
Okay, and that's fair. That's a fair way to look at how Dalton played last night. I think what... It's a dual front item. Not only did Dalton and the offense not do anything to win the football game, but the secondary is so bad that even when you're creeping close and the score was 20-14 with 4:14 left in the third quarter, you're in the game,
right?
I saw right before kick on DraftKings and on FanDuel, the line was 8.5 at some places. So at the moment, at the end of the third quarter, you're in it. You're covering. And you have an opportunity here to win a football game, to have a lucky bounce go your way. Something, you know, completely off the wall could happen in the fourth quarter. You're in it. But the defense, and that's secondary, the inability to stop the Rams. And Sean McVay and that Rams offense is just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew Stafford, and we've talked about it all offseason, that Matthew Stafford's the player to watch. Getting him to Los Angeles and the ability of having a player like that with that skill level in a spot where the only thing in the downfall of the Rams offense in the past was Jared Goff's inability to go deep downfield and to be consistent in enough of a situation to allow McVay to use all of his offensive tools and toys and all this stuff, that was the guy. And Stafford last night showed up exactly the way I thought he would. He looked exactly like he did in Detroit, except he had a fantastic play caller, a good offensive line who kept him upright, and he also had wide receivers running all over, doing all kinds of things, the intangible things that you need for high-caliber offense. And so the secondary that the Bears have cannot put up with that. But also, the Bears' offense cannot keep pace with such a high-scoring offense. So it's a dual-front failure. It's not only can we blame the quarterback play and blame Matt Nagy and the offense for not scoring points, but also we can blame the secondary for not being able to stop the passing game for the Rams. And that goes on all three levels of the defensive side of the ball. Because when you really get into the game, the Bears were in it. At the end of the third quarter, they were in it. And guess what? Within 3 minutes, the Rams come right back down the field, score a touchdown before the fourth quarter. It's 27-14. The game's basically over.
Well, that's
that's it.
And that's why the Rams had no problem letting the Bears run down the field. You want to let Montgomery run down the field? That's fine. Let him run. Let him run for 5 yards. Let him run for 7 yards. You want to take 10 minutes off for every drive? That's fine, because guess what? It takes us 3 minutes to score. And eventually, our defense is better than your offense, and we will stop you from scoring. And that's exactly what they did, and they couldn't score. And they kept on not being able to score, and the Rams just kept on piling on and piling on, and eventually it got away from them. But you're right. Earlier at halftime, into the third quarter, that game was in hand. Like, you could have done something at that point. And that's when I thought they would have brought Fields in for a little more, because you see Fields, the way they were setting it up with the read option, they were letting him come in and just kind of hand it off. You do the read option. He's in the red zone. He runs for the touchdown. I thought they were going to bring him for a deep shot, because the way they were setting it up.
You would think,
the
right?
The way that they
you
were setting
think.
Up.
You would think.
The way they were setting it up is you're like, okay, hand off.
You can't do anything, right? And then, boom, you
throws
go over
deep.
The top.
Exactly.
And you fly Mooney down the field, and you try and score one. You try and tie the football game up, and you try and get everything even. And then, boom, the sideline's going nuts. You roll the defense out there. They're ready to make a stop for you, maybe, right? Like, yeah. And then everything, I totally was with you. And at the end of the third quarter, I thought, okay, they're trying to slow play this. They're trying to ease the Rams to sleep on the defensive side, and they're going to allow Justin to go deep and to try and connect on one and see what happens. And if he does and it looks awesome, maybe he comes out again in the fourth quarter and they start rolling it that way. But I'm with you. I don't understand the idea of what they're doing with the Andy Dalton, Justin Fields back and forth, because Andy Dalton out there, 27 for 36, 206 yards. He had one interception in the red zone. It was terrible. He also was sacked three times. You're telling me that Justin Fields, who's more mobile, is not a better option when the quarterback that you're rolling out there is getting sacked three times, who has a quarterback rating of 72.9, who threw an interception in the red zone? You're talking to me about guys that need to learn, yet the quarterback that you're playing, the vet who's out there, can't hold on to the football in the red zone? He's getting strip sacked? You know, like, these are problems offensively that could be corrected.
Yeah, I don't know if it's simply a correction of just having Fields play, but there was nothing.
Well, he's more mobile.
No, I know, but there's
and he takes care of the football.
No,
two things that he has proven in his college career.
There's nothing
he took care of the football.
There's nothing that Dalton was doing that Fields couldn't do. And if anything, you would have seen an improvement because you could have called more downfield plays because Fields can extend the play and roll out more and escape pressure more and maybe turn something into, if nothing, into something, which Dalton tried to, but it just wasn't working.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Bleck. This is Bleck and Abdallah. We're here 6 to 8 weeknights right here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 312-332-3776. We'll take your Bears calls next.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports.
Bleck and Abdallah. ESPN 1000, and now on digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
It's Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We're talking Bears with you, Tom in Plainfield. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how are you guys?
Love we're good.
Show.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I just wanted to agree with what you just said in regard to what Dalton was doing last night was nothing that Fields couldn't have done. And Fields poses more of a threat downfield, more of a threat to run. So I just can't understand how they think that Dalton was the better choice. And like you said, we were in the game at halftime, we were down 6 points. Further, in situations like that, the defense is probably going to back off a little bit and give us a little more room to do some plays. So, I don't know. I just don't understand what they're thinking.
Yeah, good call, Tom. And you know, Abdallah, the one thing that we always kind of point to is, you know, the best situation to be in the National Football League is having a good rookie quarterback. If you can get a rookie quarterback who is good to on his way to becoming a star, you're in the best possible situation because you don't have to pay that quarterback the amount that you have to pay the moment he becomes a guy that is a star, that's worthy of the humongous cap allotment that goes towards star quarterbacks in the National Football League. So your roster can be filled out from top to bottom outside the quarterback position. And so you basically always have a ticking clock on rookie quarterbacks. And the longer you wait to figure out or the longer you wait to play a rookie quarterback, each week that passes, you get a little bit closer towards having to sign a player like Justin Fields to his next contract, which will be humongous. It will be the largest contract in Bears history whenever he signs that contract. I can, you know, like, we can probably predict right now, at least being confident 70% that he'll be worthy of getting that second contract from the Bears, right? Like, I don't think he'll bust out like Trubisky, where we'll be sitting here in 4.5 years saying, oh yeah, they're just going to let him walk in free agency. They're not even going to try to extend him. So when you get to that point, like, the Bears now have a window where they have a player who's on a rookie deal at the most important position in all of sports, and that player is now allowing you to maximize the roster and spend elsewhere until you have to pay that player, and then you fall back into the category like Seattle and Green Bay and all these other teams that once you start paying that high-priced quarterback, you then have to sacrifice at other parts of your roster. So it's always a ticking clock when you have a rookie quarterback, but it is the best situation to be in is have a team that is somewhat good and then get a quarterback who's a rookie who is decent to then go on a run for the next couple of years. And when you do have that young rookie, here's the thing that we've talked about that we don't understand. Why does the rookie quarterback have to know and execute the entire playbook from day one? Why not scale it back a little? Only do the things that Justin Fields can do to be successful. Like Tom and Plainfield just mentioned, there's nothing that Andy Dalton did last night that Justin Fields can't do. So why not scale it back? Do a little bit more of the get out of the pocket type of thing, the RPO thing, get them on the move, easy, dink and dunk down the field. Maybe you take a shot downfield, maybe you do, but coaches all around the National Football League coach young quarterbacks and protect them with the offensive line, with tight ends in, and running the football. But for some reason, Matt Nagy and the Bears refuse to do so.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Patriots, right? Mac Jones threw the ball 39 times. They ran the ball 30 times. So almost even, pretty even, 30 and 39.
It's a good balance.
Yeah, he threw for 281 yards and one touchdown. There was a fumble late in the game that cost the Patriots the game. But in that game, they were in it. They were winning. And because of what Mac Jones was doing, his average was 7.2 yards per attempt. He had the one touchdown. He had a QBR 75.1 and a quarterback rating of 102.6. So he was productive. They were throwing the ball. They were putting him in positions that he was familiar with. If you saw some of the play calling, it was reminiscent of what they were doing at Alabama, where they, you know, the play took a little bit of time to develop. He was getting the ball out. He wasn't holding on to it very long, but they were kind of moving the ball down the field and where he would have to hold it for 3-4 seconds for a guy to get open. And if a guy was open, he was dropping it right in the bucket for them because that's what he did at Alabama. Now, the Patriots have a good offensive line. They have a solid running back in Damian Harris. He carried the ball 23 times for 100 yards. But they needed not to fumble at the end of the game, and they would have won. You have to cater your offense to your quarterback. Bill Belichick does that, obviously. He's the greatest coach of all time. I'm not saying Matt Nagy's anywhere near that, but you can look at what your quarterback is successful at and say, hey, let's just do that for a little bit and then slowly integrate our plays into that. You know, when we talked to Brett Coleman before the season, he looked at the terminology and the play calling that the Bears were doing and Matt Nagy was using, and it's pretty much the same as what Ryan Day does at Ohio State. It's just that at Ohio State, Justin Fields has better weapons. He has a better offensive line. He's got more time to hold on to the ball. But you need to incorporate some of that stuff into your game plan.
I'm pretty sure they were running the football last night, right?
They did.
David
they
Montgomery
ran it a lot.
Was successful,
yeah.
Right? So, like, the idea that you could not protect the young quarterback and try and figure it out is crazy to me. Let's go to Mark in Bensonville. Mark, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. I don't know. I'm not a big Chris Collinsworth fan by any means, but he did make a point last night that he thought the Bears' game plan was to get the ball out within 2.2 seconds, which Andy Dalton did actually do. They put a clock on him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't think that Justin Fields could make the reach that quick. That's why they got Andy Dalton until Justin Fields can make those quick reads and get the ball out. They're figuring with the bad offensive line, they got to get the ball out quicker. There's going to be a lot more sacks. But they did put a clock on him. He did get him out before 2.2 seconds.
Yeah, but Mark, the receivers weren't even running 5 yards downfield, so what does that do? Like, yeah, I get it. Collinsworth said that he's getting it out quick. Fantastic. Collinsworth also sounded like he's never seen Justin Fields play ever. Like, he sounds like as if he didn't know that Justin Fields was a fantastic passing quarterback at Ohio State. He was so worried about his legs. He was fantastic at Ohio State. Collinsworth sounded like a complete... He sounded like he didn't do the research on the player.
No, he doesn't, and like I said, I'm not a huge fan of him, but for them to set up those long passes, you got to hold on to the ball for 3-4 seconds, and I don't know if our offensive line is going to hold up that long to get the ball down the field.
Well, yeah, Mark, and I appreciate the phone call. That's a different conversation, is it not? suggesting that the quarterback can hold on to it longer to then try and go downfield is different than a quarterback taking a half step off of the line of scrimmage and immediately dumping it to the first receiver that comes open because he's only 2 yards down the field.
Yeah.
At that point, like, there were multiple times where you could see the Rams secondary was just allowing the Bears to kind of try and work their way down
the field.
Do
whatever they wanted to. And if you say, you know, people were pointing to that play where Cole Kmet looked like he was open. But if you expand that a little bit, someone was going to hit Andy Dalton in the face, like, within a split second. So he had to get rid of the ball. That was a play designed for your first read. And that's kind of the problem. Collinsworth sounded like he was really paying attention to the Matt Nagy interview that they do before the game.
Yeah.
And
yeah, there may have been a little Ryan Pace behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, here you go. Here's a perfect example. I was going to wait to play this later, but since Mark and Bensonville brought it up, Chris Collinsworth. So fourth quarter, after a Kmet catch, Kmet comes across the line of scrimmage, and he's open in the flat, Andy Dalton got it out quick. He found Kmet in the flat, wide open, because he dropped off the ball within a second and a half. Take a listen to this from Collinsworth.
Kmet fighting his way with Ramsey hitting him first, but forward progress is going to be very close to a first down.
Now, this is exactly the type of throw that the Bears need to see from Justin Fields if they're ever going to get him in here. We saw in preseason on several occasions that the first guy would pop open quickly, and yet he would hold the ball. He held the ball longer than any quarterback during the course of preseason. Andy Dalton, on the other hand, gets that thing out.
Second and issues. Williams breaks a tackle, hits the first down before he's forced out of bounds at the 25-yard line.
So I think some blend of what Justin Fields is seeing out of Andy Dalton tonight is going to sink in, right? He's going to learn. When they go back and watch this tape now, he is going to learn, like, oh, wow, I didn't know you had to throw it in 2 seconds. At Ohio State, I never had to do anything like that. So he'll just put that in the memory bank. It'll be part of the growth. But tonight, he's been able to watch, and he'll be able to grow this week while still participating in the game and coming up with big plays.
On NBC, Chris Collinsworth, and you nailed it, because what has Nagy said throughout training camp is that Justin Fields holds on to it a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. And even though what happened, we all watched the preseason games, and yes, he got hit once because he didn't pick up the coverage, and everyone's holding on to that one hit where his helmet flew off as if he can't play the position. But clearly, Chris Collinsworth was incepted here by Nagy, by Pace, by some kind of propaganda to try and discredit Justin Fields and to suggest that he cannot pass downfield. The pass in the play of Kmet coming across the field and the pass from Dalton could not be easier. So to suggest that that's from Chris Collinsworth, that is what the Bears are waiting on Justin Fields to be able to do, to pick up in practice, is completely ludicrous. And it sounds as if Chris Collinsworth, watching last night's game, to me, as if he's never seen Justin Fields play in college. He missed the Clemson game, the 6 touchdowns. He missed when Justin Fields was speared in the chest and got up on the next play and threw a touchdown. He missed the 75-yard bomb on a dime that he threw. He missed all of it, but we're waiting for Justin Fields to find Kmet in the flat, wide open, to see if he can play in the NFL. It's unbelievable.
Did he not watch games the rest of the day, like earlier in the day, to see what Trevor Lawrence did and what Max Jones did? And, well, I understand. You want to be right. You want to be fresh-faced for the game.
He's working on all the statistics
I get that.
Pro Football Focus,
I mean, you
right?
Want, yeah.
Isn't that what he's doing?
Yeah, Pro Football Focus. Yeah, you want to be fresh for the game. No, I get it. You need a nap. You don't have bags under the eyes.
Like, am I the only one? Like, did anyone else hear that? That, like, they're talking about Justin Fields as if he's never played the position before. Like, he didn't go to Ohio State as a running quarterback.
Yeah, he's not Trubisky.
Like, this is something that we've talked about on this show. So I know that if you love Black and Abdallah, you listen to the show, you understand what we understand. It's Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. Since, like, age 16, they've been the number one and two prospects heading into college. Their freshman year in college. And then he transferred to Ohio State from Georgia. He's not a kid that just can't do it. Like, it's just crazy. And Matt Nagy today, apparently there's nothing Justin Fields can do to get on the field.
No, there's nothing he can do. There's nothing Andy can do. There's nothing he can do. Which, I mean, look, Fields is going to force his way onto the field soon enough. Whether it's because this just isn't getting done. Because, here, look, we saw this last year, right? We saw this last year in I believe it was the game against the Falcons, where Foles was, where Trubisky was starting, and they were down in that Lions game, and they were down again in the Falcons game, and Nagy was like, you know what? F this. And he put Foles in, and, you know, that's when they made the switch. I'm wondering if on Sunday against the Bengals, when Joe Burrow comes to town with Ja'Marr Chase and the rest of the weapons that they have, and they put up, you know, 14, 21 quick points, and the Bears are in a hole again, that if they don't make a change there too. Because, you know, they just go, you know what? This ain't getting it done. You can't lose to the Bengals.
We will hear from Matt Nagy coming up next, plus your phone calls. What did Nagy say today? What does Fields have to do to get into the game more? We'll hear from him next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Heading into week two for the Chicago Bears, they face off against the Cincinnati Bengals at home at Soldier Field. Matt Nagy today at Hallis Hall was asked, can Justin Fields handle more plays coming up in week two?
I don't know. You know, I think there's some of that you get into as well is getting guys in and out of rhythms too with how that works. And you could say, well, would that get them into a little bit more of a rhythm? Maybe. But some of that is strategic too, which obviously I'm not
going to
get into here with what we would do. But I do say this, working off of what we went with yesterday and how he did, I thought he did a good job. And I said that last night in the press conference that, you know, his very first play, throwing that completion there to it was a little bit inside, but it was a good decision for him. And I like that. And that's a big moment. So he's used to those moments, and he's just got to keep doing his thing and understanding where we're at. And he had a great week of practice last week, albeit on the second team. He had, you know, the look team. He had a really good week, and he got better. I mean, it's so I just want him to keep doing that and understanding where we're at.
I know you can't go into detail. Sorry, I know you can't go into details about the plan, but does anything he do in week one change that plan or kind of change the timeline? Do you reassess after his debut?
No. We're where we're at, and you know, I think that he did a great job at what we were asking him to do.
All right, there you go. Matt Nagy today at Hallis Hall. He doesn't know if Justin Fields can handle more plays in week two. Does not know. On the record saying he does not know. He's the head coach of the team. He's a quarterback guru. Does not know if your prized quarterback draft pick can handle more plays in the second week of the season. And is there anything that Justin Fields can do to earn more playing time? And Matt Nagy's answer is no. That's where we're at as Bears fans. No. There's nothing that Justin Fields can do. And he doesn't know if he can handle more playing.
Well, the question is,
it's
what
amazing.
Is it going to take for him to be in for more than just one play? And I think you're going to see it that if
21-0 Bengals at the half?
Yeah. I think you're going to see 14-17 point deficit at the half.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to make the switch. Right?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. He seemed like he was pretty pleased with Andy Dalton, even though Dalton threw a red zone pick. You know, like it. Chris and Peru, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. So Nagy's contract runs through next year, right? Or this year, I mean.
So we think.
This whole thing to me is confusing because I'm thinking Pace is, in a way, telling Nagy what to do in a little bit. Nagy's a little bit of a puppet. But at what point do we get the season to where we need Fields in? What game? I'm thinking you guys are probably right. Maybe next game even he might be in. And if so, does that mean if Nagy doesn't coach him the right way, would they let Nagy go? Or do you think this is like long-term for Nagy and no matter what, he comes back?
No, it's a good question. I think the other thing is, do we know if Ryan Pace got an extension that we're unaware of? Like, that's mysterious out there. So we don't know if Pace and Nagy have the same timeline. We don't know if Matt Nagy got a contract extension. Is that possible?
Well, yeah, because they took off they took it off from the Bears website.
We don't know, right? Like, they haven't answered those questions. So we really don't know. And as far as when Fields start, I mean, The offense is going to have to be really bad for an extended period of time, I think, for them to switch to Justin Fields full time.
I don't know, man.
Joe Mokina, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I'm not a Nagy fan by any means, so don't take this the wrong way, but I don't think it's horrible that they put him in for a couple plays, maybe to get a few. That's the best line he's going to face all season long, so kind of maybe they wanted to kind of see how he did against it. But I think they're holding him back because, and that kind of leads to my second point, that's why Montgomery was looking so good yesterday. It's because the defensive line was in the backfield the whole game. So I don't know, maybe Nagy knows that there's no offensive line to protect the field. Maybe that's why he's gun shy about putting them in.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it.
I thought the offensive line didn't look horrible yesterday. There was one play that they isolated where Jason Peters basically got bumped and fell down, and I was like, oh, God, no. But they were fine. They weren't awful. There wasn't like 10 sacks in the game. But Dalton had to run for a little bit, but isn't that why you bring Fields in earlier? Because if the line is going to collapse and the pocket's going to collapse, he can do more with less.
For how worried we were heading into the game, I thought they had a pretty decent game.
They
ran the football. They didn't stick to the run.
Now you lost... You know,
the quarterbacks weren't getting killed.
You lost Peters for an undisclosed amount of time. Borum's got a high ankle sprain, maybe, that they will find out about on Wednesday. But right now, the left tackle position is worrisome, obviously. It was worrisome when you signed 40-year-old Jason Peters. But to be fair, against the number one defense last year and against the best defender in the league,
not too bad.
They held their own.
Not too bad. Oh, no. Here he is. Mitchell and Desplaines.
Hey, what's up there, Team Gemini, Team Ted? Hey, Team Gemini.
Yes.
I think last Friday, you thought that I might have accidentally hung up on you. I didn't. What happened was my phone, I was going to turn up the volume, and I hit the wrong, thing.
Oh, that's all right.
So I apologize.
No problem.
But I just want to cover my tracks because I never want you to think that I would ever do something so dubious.
I appreciate it.
But however, I like to digress. You know, I think Andy Dalton played one hell of a game yesterday. For all criticism, and it's not fair that he's getting it, he was very efficient. Now I want you to compare and contrast what happened with his first downs, his percentage of first downs versus what Trubisky did in the last 4 years. And he did a hell of a job yesterday. For some God, nobody can figure this out. Maybe you can. That's why I'm going to ask you both Team Gemini and Team Fest here the following. Why won't Matt Nagy, we know that he's stubborn, right? We got that up. We already know that. Why won't he throw downfield? He has arm strength, and was throwing darts. I mean, he has a nice arm, And for whatever reason, I don't understand what it comes down to. He's the offensive coordinator. He will not throw down in between, what I call the safeties and in stride. Like, why is he so reticent is the word I was looking for. Reticent about not doing it. That's number one. Number two, with regards to, people that want to think they have a seat at the table with Matt Nagy and Lake Forest, you don't. So you have to rely that Matt Nagy, for whatever his reasons are, we'll never find out because he's a guy who's not really transparent, and I think he's trying to figure things out, kind of like fake it till you make it kind of attitude. I think what happens is people are becoming suspicious because over this, what I call motivational speech over his last 4 years, things are not panning out the way that he said they would. And that's where the natural critical thinker in you and your callers and people that are watching it say, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense, right? I get that. However, the fact is that the path to power, the pathway to Justin Fields lies in the power of Matt Nagy. That's it. So until you somehow basically get a seat at the table, they hurry up and wait. And I think that, obviously Justin Fields had a great game yesterday. Scored a touchdown, we can't control the mechanism for what they should do or what we think they should do. I just want to stress the positives. I thought their, for whatever reason, their short, completion rate was excellent. They weren't three and outs. They had a higher percentage of possessions across the board. The biggest problem is that you face a defense that has a lot of question marks. Okay, strike one. You never saw that coming. And strike two, you obviously have issues with, Team Sanchez, you're talking about the 39-year-old person, the left tackle. And then his replacement goes down. I mean, you want to talk about, a really bad situation. I just got to see what happens over this next 2 weeks. And look, Let me ask you this, guys. What are the unintended consequences if Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace fail? And you know what? There aren't. So that's what you have to come to grips with. You have to basically say, listen, be outspoken, be critical thinkers that you are, but deep down inside, know that the only person that's going to really make this, this wish of yours and for others, it comes from Matt Nagy. And don't be surprised if you just see what I call Justin Fields being sprinkled in the red zone, because that fits the stubborn Matt Nagy mode. And that, Your Honor, is the bottom line.
Thank you, Mitchell.
My pleasure. Have a great night.
You too, Mitchell. I kind of rushed Miss Mitchell last Friday night. I was running out of time. I mismanaged the clock
show.
At the end
short
of the show. No, I, you know, truth be told, I also botched good question at the end. I didn't get it in on the end of the show, so I said we'd roll it to Monday, but now you're saying let's do it on
Friday. Why
would
we do it on a Monday?
Well,
we got
I'm
Bears
just,
calls.
Yeah, we could roll it to
all
next
calls
week.
Welcome.
I got you.
We got shows Thursday.
Listen.
We got shows Friday. We got shows Wednesday. We got shows. Oh, we got some special Wednesday.
Do we
really?
Got
some special Wednesday.
What do we have for Wednesday?
What do we have Wednesday? We're going to party with the people on Wednesday.
Well, yeah, with White Claw, but
we're
going to
be partying with
the
people.
Show.
Oh, it's just a show.
Oh.
All of our shows are our can't miss.
I thought you had something special
for
the
saying
show.
After the show.
Yeah, we have a pub crawl again to try and get people to qualify to Las Vegas. Brought to you by White Claw, and that's on Wednesday night, Lamont.
Lamont. We're going to start at Next Mex. We're going to work our way through three other bars. It's going to be amazing. Come on out. It's going to be great. You want to come to Vegas with Waddle and Sylvie, you got to register there. We're going to drink some White Claws. We're going to watch some games. We're going to party, and someone's going to qualify to win a trip to Vegas.
Can I
to
say,
watch some football.
Yeah, Chicago, Las Vegas on October the 10th. It's a trip with Waddle and Sylvie. Circuit Resort and Casino is where they're staying, and it's all brought to you by White Claw. Can I tell you, on Saturday, a huge crowd came out on Saturday to Naperville. We hit three bars in Naperville from 2 to 4 on Saturday afternoon. A lot of Black and Abdallah listeners.
Love
a lot
it.
A lot of fans of Chicago's College Tailgate.
Love
and
it.
Song of the Night.
Love
and,
it.
And Mitchell and I got questions about Mitchell and Despain.
Of course you did.
At the event in the bar crawl. We had a fantastic time in Naperville. So, Lamont, watch out. Black and Abdallah. Here's the deal. We end the show at 6:30 on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting in the car.
Get in the car.
I'm driving, right? Have we decided this?
I don't think we've decided.
You're driving tomorrow.
I'm driving tomorrow.
Wednesday.
Okay, that works for me.
Okay, so we're getting in the car. We're going straight to Lamont from here at 6:30.
Can't wait.
It starts at 7:30, so
yes.
We've got to drive fast.
We'll drive the speed limit,
but faster. It was a great time on Saturday, so come on out. And here's the key. All three bars we go to, you get a chance to qualify at each of the bars.
Each one.
So if you don't qualify at the first one,
come
with us to the second bar and the third one.
Yeah.
And it's a great time. We'll be drinking White Claw, and the White Claw guys were out there on Saturday, and it was a fun time.
And you said people there enjoyed Song of the Night.
Yeah.
Maybe not after tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, it's coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3CHI. That's the number 3CHI, the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. Visit 3CHI.com for more info and use promo code ESPN21 for 5% off.
When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Make sure you download the Black and Abdallah podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Monday Night Football tonight. The Ravens at the Raiders. Looking forward to that. And it's time for the FanDuel Game of the Night.
You know what, Chris? Last week, the FanDuel Game of the Night. I want to apologize to people for making the money. 2-0 last week.
Oh, too hot.
2-0.
Too hot.
I'm sorry.
Shout out to FanDuel.
I'm sorry. 2-0 last week in the FanDuel Game of the Night. I'm sorry, FanDuel. That people are winning money left and right. I just want to apologize, so we'll try to replicate that this week for the people. So we're going to go to the Monday night game tonight, Ravens and Raiders. Okay, because the side,
uh-huh.
Because the spread is 3.5,
sure.
I don't like that hook.
Hmm.
Not a fan of the hook.
Hmm.
And people don't like rooting for unders, but tonight we're going to be that guy.
Oh.
I like the under 50 and a half.
Sloppy game.
I like under 50 and a half in this game. That is your FanDuel game of the night. There's a reason FanDuel is America's number one sports book. They've got all the odds on all the biggest sports. They make it simple and intuitive to place your bets. It's a place to go for exciting bet types such as the same game parlay, plus daily offers and promotions. If you go to the boost section tonight, they've got some boosts for Monday Night Football as well. Lamar Jackson to score a rushing touchdown and rush for 60 or more yards. That's boosted. Also, Mark Andrews or Darren Waller to score the first touchdown. That's boosted as well. So if you want to take advantage of those boosts before the Monday Night game kicks off, make sure you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Get in on the action. 2-0 last week. Let's hope for a 2-0 week this week as well.
Love it. The FanDuel game of the night. Now it's time for the song of the night. I want to
rock! Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, Lick.
Around 6:50 each night here on Bleck and Abdallah, we bring you the song of the night. It's brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football is back, and Coach Fitz and the 2020 Big Ten West Division champions host Rutgers, Minnesota, Iowa, and Purdue this fall. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Tonight's song of the night is Nickelback, Too Bad.
Water, sands, and line with dirt from long days in the fields.
Kick off the NFL season than with a little Nickelback.
Is that really how you introduced this?
No. The anniversary of Silver Side Up was this weekend. This album is now 20 years old by Nickelback. And we've already done How You Remind Me as Song of the Night.
So we went to the second track.
So we went to the second single off of Silver Side Up, which is Too Bad, which is a song about not growing up without a father. As Chad Kroeger did.
Oh, wow.
And so...
I think Krogs has a guitar solo in this song,
ooh,
by the way.
He does?
Yeah, he gets credit for the guitar solo
in
this one.
Listen, we saw them play this song.
Yeah, they were good.
They put on a phenomenal show. I don't care what people say. People want to crap on Nickelback. But I'm telling you, quality rock songs about hard-hitting issues.
It's pretty amazing that they've been around for 20 years.
Right?
Rocking people's faces off.
Right? And this album, this wasn't even their first album. Longer than 20 years rocking faces. That's all they do. That's all they know how to do, Chris.
Right.
Is yeah. Rock faces.
Yes. You have some song facts to give to me tonight?
I told you that the lyrics were written by the band singer, by Chad Kroeger, dealing with issues of how he felt growing up without his father, who abandoned him. This song that came out, it was the second single. It went to number one in the UK.
Oh.
It hit number 42 here on the Billboard Hot 100, but number one in the mainstream rock category. So a number one hit here and in the UK. So you tell me Nickelback's bad. Everybody hates Nickelback. Yeah, number one. How about that? Plaques. They're doing numbers, Chris. Kind of a problematic tweet by the AP this weekend, too, why we, of all the albums that came out 20 years ago this weekend, Jay-Z putting out The Blueprint, The Strokes releasing an album.
No, it's true. The Strokes came out right around this time 20 years ago.
Nothing like going with Silver Side Up as our song of the night tonight, commemorating that, because I don't know if we could, but there's too much editing involved with the Jay-Z tracks. We've done The Strokes before. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating.
Well, I've listened to The Strokes. I don't know what you've done.
What do you mean?
What?
What did I say?
Just let the Nickelback play.
Is he still with Avril Lavigne?
Isn't she with the Sum 41 dude?
I thought she was with the... I don't know. We're about to find out. Oh, they divorced in 2015. Pour one out for Chad Kroeger and Avril Lavigne.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
How can love survive if those two can't survive. That's what I want to know.
Your song of the night, Nickelback, Too Bad. Rocking your face off on a Monday night. Song of the night. I want to
rock. Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.